Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Before we get to my guest this week, I just want to say I hope everybody out there is staying safe with the coronavirus, being smart about it, listening to what we're being told, social distancing, all of that, taking care of each other. And please, if you're one of those people stockpiling toilet paper, please stop. You don't need a lot of toilet paper. That's not going to be the problem with this thing. And I read somewhere that some guy stockpiled over 3 months worth of toilet paper. If you're stockpiling that much toilet paper, the virus is the least of your problems. I would go get your stomach checked out or something, okay? So be smart out there. And also, just a reminder, my YouTube channel is up and running. Every week we're posting new video clips, different stuff. It's really cool. Go check it out. It's just under my name, Paul Mercurio, YouTube channel, and subscribe. And every time we post something, you'll get a little notice about it. And appreciate you guys supporting that and the podcast. Spread the word around about the podcast. Send the links. We, as you know, we have a lot of great guests that I'm really proud of. So appreciate you doing that. And my guest this week is Shark Tank's Damon John. Has a new book out. Really cool conversation with him about some principles in his book that he thinks everybody could sort of benefit from, his rise to success. Really, really interesting conversation. So stay safe out there and check out the YouTube channel and subscribe, Paul Mercurio, and enjoy Damon John. My guest this week is a star of ABC Shark Tank, a founder and CEO of the clothing line FUBU, and a New York Times best-selling author. Has a new book out, Power Shift, Transform Any Situation, Close Any Deal, and Achieve Any Outcome. It's Damon John. Great to have you on the show, Damon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I want to talk about this power shift principle. And in the book, you say it's power shifts are when you take control and create moments of true change that allow you to live a happier and more fulfilled life. And how do you define true change in that context? I'm curious.
So true change is the direction that you want to be. And when you write your obituary, how do you want your obituary to read? You know, I know it may be dark and gloomy, especially during these times, to do that. But it's a very healthy exercise. And if your obituary is, I go to work for 40 or 50 hours a week and a job that I absolutely hate. And because I go to that all weekend, I go to bars and I drink and I get into fights. Then your obituary reads, you worked every day at some place to pay yourself to go fight, to go back to work. Right. So, you know, what do you want out of life, whether it's working or whether your personal relationship with your family, your spouse, or whether your health, what do you want? And a lot of people just don't know their why. Why are they doing it? And what do they want out of it? And they really don't win. And a lot of people are just literally on a hamster wheel, just running the cycle and don't know what's going on.
Right. Yeah. That's a really great point. And I'm wondering if you think it's tied to fear, you know, fear of financial insecurity. You know, like in my case, I worked on Wall Street. I was a lawyer, investment banker doing M&A deals, and I was set, but there was something lacking. And then I found comedy and writing. And then I looked at myself in the mirror. I'm like, am I going to do this? Am I going to, you know, I come middle class kid. Do I throw it all away and have no security to pursue something I'm passionate about? And ultimately I said, although I want to have money, I didn't want that to be the dictating rule of my life. And so I said, you got to go for it. Do you find that money and the concerns about money can actually keep people from doing what they should in their heart be doing?
Yeah, of course it is. And it's true, right? You got to keep the lights on. You may have family and you have medical resources, and it is a very, very scary thing. Also, on the flip side, a lot of people do things because they just want more money, and they go after the wrong things because they want more money. They don't know what they would do with the money, or they end up wanting the money for the wrong purposes. So the self-reflection part of power shift is extremely important. And I open up the book, as you read the book, with a very serious self-reflection that I had to have with myself when I found out that I had stage 2 cancer. And, you know, it's a serious matter. However, on the flip side, what comes out on the end once you take inventory of yourself is something that you know that at least you left it all on the field, or you were better prepared for what's going on today because of these small investments and these changes. Or, you know, listen, you made your spouse and or your kids a little more happier, and you realize what you were really working so hard for.
Yeah, No, it's a great point. It really is a great, it really probably is one of the most impactful openings to a book that I've read in a long time. It really sets the tone for the book in a really positive way. We also have a great story about your daughter. It's really cute, but also very enlightening. In the book, she's three. It's Minka, right? Is that the correct pronunciation of your daughter's name?
Yeah. So one of the toughest negotiations I've ever had. Because you know, the reality is I put that in there because most of us have children or cousins or nephews or sisters or brothers, and we can see the ability they have to negotiate that comes naturally as a child. And they don't have these borders or fear. They just know how to manipulate the situation with different people in their own way.
Right.
And it comes that way.
Yeah. Well, you have a great quote in here. You say, even at 3 years old, she figured out, mostly through trial and error and some foot stomping, that if she picks a strategy and follows a certain sequence of steps, she almost always gets her way. And I thought that pick a strategy and follow a certain sequence of steps, there was almost a rule that you took away from that interchange with her that applies to business, I think, right?
Absolutely. But I didn't crack. So she didn't get me to wear her little princess tiara during tea time. I still held my ground, but it was very, very difficult. But yes, absolutely. A lot of people, you see, the reason why I wrote that is because I never knew that I was making these power shift moves for the first 45 years of my life. And I noticed then when I took inventory of how I've gotten where I've gotten through creating a global brand or becoming an author or a television personality or my private life of investing or a motivational speaker, I started to see a pattern go on what I was doing. And then I said, wait a minute, is it just me? Let me go out and interview Lindsey Vonn, somebody who practices 4 years to win over just in a millisecond over the best athletes on the entire planet, or Kris Jenner or Pitbull, or Billie Jean King, who changed the entire face of sports. And let me see if this pattern mimics throughout their lives. And I started to find a very specific pattern that I'm not going to be the big brainy guy. This book is not super technical. It's like me and you talking, you know, at a cafe or Starbucks, right? And I found this pattern and I started to put it in the book. So hopefully people can learn from this pattern and use it in their own way and uncover the pattern that they've been doing.
And these patterns, I want to talk about Billie Jean in a minute because there's an interesting passages on her. But these power shift moves, as you call them, or patterns, can you elaborate on that a little bit for the listener? Like, how do you define those?
Yeah, so they come in three different forms. The pattern is, number one, they've built influence in some way or another, and I'll get further into that. The second part is the art of the negotiation was never what's in it necessarily for them, but what's in it for the person across the table. And did they ask the right questions? Meaning, you hear a no from somebody, do you say, what is in your way of this deal? How can I make it better? What are you dealing with that I can add value to? Instead of the no, then the no becomes, well, you get more insight on it and the way they're communicating. I'll tell you the honest truth. Mark Cuban, who's a very good friend of mine, he refuses to get on the phone. He will never get on the phone. So when I asked him to partake and be in this book, I did his entire interview over texting. Now, most people would have said, well, Mark, you're my man. Why won't you even get on the phone with me? It's only going to take a half an hour or an hour. What's wrong with you? You're a jerk. But no, I understood the way that he communicated, and I made it easier for him, so it was a win-win situation for both of us. Mm-hmm. Then the most important part of the book after that is the value of the relationship. People think that, you know, negotiating is a one transactional thing. It's not. Usually the first time you talk to somebody or negotiate with somebody, you never get the deal done. It's really, that was the dating process. And the relationship after that is where either that deal works or another deal works, and or the relationship you have, that person goes out and tells everybody else how amazing you are or how much of a jerk you are. And that's where you start to see the real dividends pay off in a negotiation. Now, building influence. How do you build influence with Damon John or Mark Cuban or Barbara Corcoran when you're in an elevator for 90 seconds? You can't, right? You're in the elevator for 90 seconds. You give me a card, you give me a contact, you tell me what you're doing, and you tell me how it can add value to my life, and then maybe I should check into it. When I leave the elevator and I open up my phone, I'll Google your name or I send it to my secretary, I'm going to look at the things you were saying on social media or on the internet for the last 5 minutes and 5 years. And that's where the influence is built. It's not built necessarily prior to me meeting you in regards to in the elevator. It's built on your history. And so I give people a lot of different details on how to do these things and how to negotiate. And every one of the negotiation ways are not for every person. You will take away one from, from Mark Cuban. You take away a cue from Bethany Frankel. But as long as you take away something to make it easier for you to negotiate throughout your life.
Well, you know, it's you really hit it on the head. It's a very well done book, but it's very practical. It's not too heady, and it's very relatable. And you talk about like, well, what does the person on the other side of the table need? I had Paul McCartney on my podcast, and people say to me, well, how did you get him? And I'm like, well, it wasn't planned. I was working on The Daily Show and The Colbert Report at the time. I work on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert now. And Paul McCartney very quickly was the guest at The Late Show on The Colbert Report. He had just finished rehearsal. I ran in. Literally, he was in the hallway hanging out. I started talking to him, and we just talked about life. I didn't ask him for anything. I just talked to him about his kid and my kid and traveling and how his art. And then I went to the bathroom and was hyperventilating because I just met Paul McCartney. And then I thought, I'd love to have Paul McCartney do my podcast because I really like to know how people make music. I'm a process geek and I just have this interest in everything. So I just went and knocked on the door, said, would you do my podcast? He went, yeah, sure. And he did it. And I think what happened was I didn't want anything from him really in that conversation in the hallway. I really just wanted to talk to him. And I also know that poor guy gets hit up for everything. And if I didn't have an intention to lay that groundwork, but what you talk about resonates with me because I do think it's, you're not going to get what you want instantly. You have to build that relationship. And you talk about that in the book and Billie Jean King. And you say that there were three takeaways from her: relationships are everything, keep learning and be a problem solver. And you say, on top of that, you've got to keep learning and learn how to learn. And I'm curious, what does learn how to learn mean from that takeaway with Billie Jean?
Learn how to learn means to understand that you don't know everything and what's the process and what can you pick out of every situation and or thing happen. Let's talk real time right now. We're in a weird place in our country. You know, I need to learn how to learn now to be more proficient from Zoom and everything else like that to talk to my staff. I need to, just like you being a broadcaster, I need to, if I'm going to be stuck in the house, I need to be able to help have people depend on the fact that I will be on every day at 2 o'clock or 6 o'clock or midnight on my Insta Story Live, or is it a podcast, whatever case is new. And so I need to learn how to be an operator. I have a staff, but I can't have them come to my house and show me how to do a podcast and hook up all the audio equipment. So what am I going to do? I'm either going to say, well, this will blow over in a month or 4 months, and I have a staff, and you know what? Mr. John has enough money. I don't need to care about this. But why not learn how to learn and understand how to do the things that you're doing right now, yeah, right? So every one of us needs to learn how to learn. And the problem is, a lot of people, if they don't know their why, they don't know what they're doing it for, that fogs their vision of what they want to do to move forward. I'm going to take 1 second just to talk about a subject in the book that I know you read the book already, but why it's an opportune time to talk about her right now. Forget about the Mark Cubans, the Billie Jean Kings, and all those. I know that you can absolutely learn from them, but there's one woman in the book named Crystal, and she went and she lives in Ohio. She had to take maternity leave. She had a baby. She comes back and tells the boss after she has the baby, listen, I had a premature baby. I need to spend some time at home with my baby. So can I just work 20 hours instead of the normal 40 hours? The boss said, I'm sorry, I gave you maternity leave money already. I need you to work here the full time, or I'm sorry, I have no other job for you. But in between the time of her doing that, when she had the baby, she was learning how to become a virtual assistant. She realized that over the top job for females in this country are executive assistant secretaries, vice versa, things of that nature. She realized there was a demand for it. Now, what does she do? She works for me 20 hours. She's in Ohio. She gives another company 5 hours, another company 10 hours. By the way, she worked for me 35 hours because after the situation went down, I need her to update my staff on what to do virtually. She doesn't have to trek through the snow or the heat public transportation. She doesn't have to wear a mask. She stays home, watches her baby, makes more money than she's ever made before, dictates her own hours, and never has to work for anybody she doesn't want to work for again. She took a power shift 2 years ago, and now she's in the opportune time while this situation is going on, purely because she needed to learn what she needed to learn.
I'm glad you mentioned Crystal, and there's so much more in the book that the people really can get a lot out of. It's really great to have you on. I encourage everyone to, check out the book and also all of your other books as well. But the currently is Power Shift, Transform Any Situation, Close Any Deal, and Achieve Any Outcome. Damon, John, great to have you on. Love to have you on again sometime. Great luck with the book and everything else.
All right, I appreciate it. And by the way, our fans, I want to just thank all our fans because they got ABC to move Shark Tank back from Sunday night to Friday night at 8 p.m. because our fans are probably the most dedicated fans on television. So thank you and thank all your listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And love the show. And my son is probably going to go into business because of the show. He's a teenager and we watch it together and we learn a lot from it. So thank you for that.
We love it. Thank you.
All right, there you go. I want to have him back on because there's so much that he's done that I think is really helpful for people to hear, and what he's accomplished can really help people in their own life. Please check out the YouTube channel, Paul Mercurio. Subscribe, really cool stuff there. Spread the word around about the podcast. Follow me on social media at Paul Mercurio, and stay safe with the coronavirus, everyone.